they are an acquaintance, let's say. And they come to your house, and you meet them at the door. You show them to a seat, probably the best seat in the living room. You take their coat, and you engage in conversation. And in spite of problems that may exist between you, you don't debate or argue some of the things that they've said. You consider them and act appropriately. Now, once a person has been there a good many times, and you've gone beyond the acquaintance level, you now consider yourself friends, and they come to your home, or maybe you go to their place. You might, when the door is knocked on, you might call, "Come on in, and hang up your coat, grab a seat." Now, to some degree, this is normal, because you have developed in a relationship, in a friendship, to a level where things can be more informal than when they first came and rang the doorbell and you went to the door and greeted them. But remember, they are not to be taken for granted. Kindness, courtesy, consideration, helpfulness are always appropriate. Does not matter how long you've had that person as a friend. Does not matter how significant the relationship is. Kindness is always in order.
That's right.
There may be teasing. There may be some good-hearted banter. But be careful that it doesn't cross the line into unkindness. Courtesy is always appropriate.
Amen.
Please, thank you, is always in order, even though you may have known them for many, many years. My wife, Pat, had a friend for 42 years. She's now in heaven. But she had a strong, good relationship. But you know, it wasn't that way in year one and two. She had to get quite a bit beyond year three and four. But in year 39, 40, and the remaining 42 years, it was such a strong relationship. But neither one ever acted unkindly to the other. Neither one ever spoke anything out of order that caused hurt. There was always consideration. You know the common saying, make yourself at home? When somebody tells you that, you need to understand, you should think that that has limits. What they're really meaning to say, what they're really wanting you to know, is be comfortable. Be relaxed. Over the 47 years of ministry, we had many missionaries, evangelists, visiting pastors that would stay at our home. Our son Jack gave up his bedroom before the church had a facility, a place to lodge such visitors. That was good for him, okay? That's how you learn sacrifice. And I'm happy to say it was part of what made him into the man of character that he is today. But I would say, and after a while, Pat said, you know, probably you shouldn't say that. I would say, make yourself at home. Now, some servants were sharp enough to know that what I meant was, I hope you're relaxed and comfortable here. Then others didn't understand that. And they'd get up, go to the refrigerator, open it up, see what was there that they might want to get to drink. And that was a no-no. And hence I got the instruction. I don't know what you want to say, but don't say make yourself at home. Because some people do. And it's not their home. And so you see what I'm getting at?
Yes, sir.
That's the same thing in friendship. Somebody you see all the time here at church, somebody you interact with, maybe it's a neighbor or a coworker, somebody that you've developed a relationship with, you need to always treat them with respect. Now here at church, that's true also. Simply because we see each other every Sunday and many in between on a Wednesday, and because we have a relationship with some that we would consider to be a friendship. Now, that's not true with everybody. Just because you see everybody every week here doesn't mean that you have a friendship with them. A friendship is a developed relationship that is a give and take. I'm going to say this again later, but friendship is a two-way street. Okay? And friendship needs to do more than take. Again, I'm likely to repeat this again. I realize I'm getting ahead of myself here, but some people are high maintenance. Okay? Yeah, some people are high maintenance. There's always some demand, always some need, always some situation, always some problem that has to be done. And when you're in a relationship that you're always giving, and not being given back to, not getting, that drains. And that relationship is destined for failure. Life is a two-way street. There's times in one person's life where there's more need, and hence you give. But then when that situation passes, now we're back to the place where when you have a problem, they give. Two-way street in life. So important. You know, that's even true in a marriage relationship. Okay, now, you know, marriage relationship, I hope you'd say there's a friendship there, all right? But for certain, in marriage, if it's always a one-way deal, if one of you is high maintenance and the other one always has to be putting out and propping up, and that doesn't build a good marriage. Well, friends, and I'm quoting here, friends last longer the less they are used. Okay? Friends last longer the less they are used. I mean, be careful about abusing an individual. Now, this is not done normally on purpose. I say normally because I have seen through the years that there are people who consciously misuse another to their own advantage. That's not a friendship. I don't know what you want to term that, but that's not a friendship, because friendship is a two-way street. Now, like I said, we must be careful that we don't take another person for granted. We must be careful that we don't neglect another person. I expect Henry to come over at 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon. And so it's 2 o'clock. Henry's not here. Gets to 2:15. I wonder what happened. I wonder if he had a flat tire or something. He's still not here. Comes to 2:30. Henry's still not here. And so about 2:45, I call. I'm being overly patient in this illustration. But about 2:45, I call Henry and say, "Hey, Henry, I thought you were coming over at 2:00. "Oh, yeah," he said, "I was." But then, and then he describes why he didn't come. Now that, my friends, is neglect of a friendship. Henry should have called me and told me, "Hey, I'm not going to be able to make it." And obviously, if he knew that at 1 or noon or whatever time, he should have called then. Because I have a day to use. I have a time that needs to be met. You see, some people are selfish and they think their time's more important than yours. You can't build a relationship with a person that's like that. You can have an acquaintanceship, I'm going to call it, okay? Even though you know each other for 20 years. I can't think of another term to describe it, but friendship doesn't describe it. And so you need to be sure that you're not neglecting or imposing upon propriety. You see, if there was somebody who was, let's say, at the acquaintance level, this is somebody we just met at the church, and they seem like a nice person, and I'd like to get to know them more. At that level, if you set up a meeting at 2:00 and you can't make it, you'll call them because of the new contact and the new relationship. You would be considerate. That ought to be the same way for a person that you know for 10 years. You ought to be considerate. You ought to, their life is as important as yours. Amen? Now, folks, it's that uncomfortable quiet in here. Often when that happens, a preacher doesn't say it. He just is aware of it. The reason I'm saying it is because if it's quiet, not because you're sleepy, okay, but because of the subject, then I hope you'll take to heart many of these things because they'll make you a better Christian. You see, a lot of this has to do with our faith. It is a crying shame when you'll meet unsaved people who have more character, for example, in an area like this, than what do Christians. That ought not to be so. That's because people are taking their faith for granted, revealed in the taking for granted a relationship. Mark Twain said this, I think you'll like it. "The holy passion of friendship is of so sweet and steady and loyal and enduring a nature that it will last through a whole lifetime if not asked to lend money." There are some things, that's one of them, and there are some others that are definite no-nos, that they're going to impede, hinder a friendship. Not only in a new relationship and a new development of a friendship, but even an old one. I'm so pleased. It brings tears to my wife's eyes, and as you can tell, it chokes me up when I think of her friend, Dorothy was her name, when I think of her and the friendship that she had with Pat, the kind of relationship that they had. It's wonderful when an individual has somebody like that. There aren't a lot of cases where that's true. It endured, it grew for 42 years. We are on the wrong track when we think of friendship as something to get rather than to give. As I said, friendship is a two-way street. You may like to create a friendship, with an individual that you meet, that you know, can be here at church. This, for many of us, is our primary social contact. Now, I know those of you that work out in a factory or in an office or a store, you have relationships with co-workers. Some of them can indeed develop into a personal friendship rather than just a co-worker relationship. There's a difference, you know, but they can do that. But let's say here at church, you may look at an individual, be aware of an individual, and you may think to yourself, I'd like to have a friendship with them. Now, you may not, you know, form that thought in your mind, but maybe you do. I'd like to have a friendship with them. And so you go about properly, appropriately interacting with them, responding, giving, and so on. But nothing ever happens. It just, what do we say? It just doesn't click. I've tried, and I've even prayed. Wow, that's when you know you're really serious, okay? I've even prayed about it, but it just doesn't click. It just doesn't happen. Well, then admit that you can't have a friendship with that person. There's, you know, you can't be, you can't, friendships are like birthed. They grow. You know this. There's times through your life where you've been in contact with someone and it did click. I mean, you weren't even trying to develop a relationship. You were very compatible. And you were very comfortable with each other in interacting. And what grew out of that was a friendship. Now, there's different types of friendship. There's a friendship that you would have with a co-worker, as I referred to a little bit ago. There's a friendship that you'll have with people at church. There's another kind of friendship that you'll have with a neighbor, for example. They're all friendships, but they're, because of the source of them, it affects the nature of them. And we must realize that and not read into such a contact something that's not there. Friendship is a relationship that is built and building. You have it, but you must constantly seek it. You see? You can't figure, well, all right, now I finally, Henry's my friend, and we are friends, and I have a friendship with Henry. But you can't sit back in your laurels and figure, well, that's it. You still keep working on it. Friends should build each other up in the Christian faith. Build each other up in Christian living and general character. That's why I said earlier, some people are high maintenance. We should build each other up, okay? But if it's one always having to give, if it's one always having to build the other, that's draining on the person who's always giving. And when you get a sense of relief by leaving that person, their presence, okay, and the interaction you're having, if you're getting a sense of relief, something's not right there, okay? You need to evaluate that. Evaluate yourself. Evaluate that person. And so I ask this question, what are you? In the relationships, the friendships that you have, what are you? Are you a giver or a taker? You see, there's times where we'll be the taker. There's definitely times where we need to be the giver. Life is a two-way street. Now, I want to look at some scriptures. If you'll turn to the book of Proverbs, as I said, chapter 6. Proverbs 6, verse 3. Now, you're going to recognize these verses. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself and make sure of thy friend. there's no room for pride. There's no room for taking things for granted. Make sure thy friend. Make sure that the relationship is the kind that it needs to be. And then chapter 17. We go from chapter 6 to chapter 17. In 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Okay? A friend should be able to support you. An individual that you consider a friend, he's going to love in good times and also in bad times. We have a common saying, he was a fair weather friend. A fair weather friend doesn't love at all times. They only love when it's convenient for them. Now, what's the problem there? It's selfishness. And when an individual is only taking from you, you can't build a relationship. You can get that from a stranger. You can get that from somebody that you work with that you just, you know, punch in the time clock at the same time. You go to your shift, you do your thing, and you, hi, how are you doing today? Boy, isn't this weather something else? And you have that level of interaction with them. If somebody who's a friend is not born for adversity, you see, a friend loves at all times, in adversity as well as in good times. And then we'll go to chapter 18. Chapter 18 and verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, the last part of that verse, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, is frequently applied to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is certainly descriptive of him, but I don't believe it's a prophetic verse talking about him. It's talking about you and me.
That's right.
A man or woman that hath friends must show himself friendly. That two-way street thing. You see what the Bible's saying here? There needs to be more than just what you want. It needs to be more than just what they want. A friend is the kind of person that sticks close together. They're born for adversity. In other words, when trouble comes, they don't leave. They get closer. And as a person, you may have a friend that's going through something, and don't avoid them because you don't know what to say. A lot of times this happens. An individual's going through trouble, marital or severe financial problems or health problems, and they have a friend, but the friend gets scared because they don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle it. Listen to me. All you need to, and you know this, all you need to do is be there. Just if if you're the kind that you go to each other's house, just go to their house. Henry, I don't know what to say. I just want you to know that I care about you. Then Henry may open up and talk, and then that helps you to know what to say or do. But he may not. He may just sit there distraught. His wife left him. Took the kids along. He's left alone. What do you say? You certainly don't kick her. You don't help a situation like that by putting down the one that left. You may find out that your friend, and we got a verse on this, you may find out that you need, as a friend, to say some things to him that may have caused her to leave. Okay? And so, but what do you say? Don't worry about what you say. Just be there. We can all, well, that's hard. Yeah, it is. Life isn't easy. What are you, a cream puff friend? Sure, it's hard. I wouldn't, as a pastor, I never wanted to go into that kind of situation. If possible, I would avoid it, but it wasn't possible because it was my task to be a shepherd friend. Just this morning, I was thinking about a situation that came about in our church. It'd be inappropriate for me to say it, but it was not easy. Believe me, when I drove up the driveway and I knocked on the door, I didn't want to. But I was not going to be a fair weather friend. All right, chapter 27. Chapter 27 and verse 6. 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You see, that illustration I gave where the wife left and took the children, the man's there alone, and you talk and you learn, and it may be 2 weeks later that you learn more of that whole situation, and so he's your friend, so you have to go back, and to be a faithful friend, you're going to have to wound him. Henry, I heard this. What do you have to say about it? You don't accuse him. You don't get ready to forsake him. You simply say, Henry, this is what I heard. You want to talk about it? Tell me about it. And you might find out from Henry that it wasn't the way you heard it. And then you might find out it was very true. And if you're going to be a friend, then you're going to have to wound him. He may not want to hear what you have to say, but he needs to hear it. And if you're a friend, you're going to say it. Yeah, well, I don't know. I'll let that for, yeah, everybody's going to let that for somebody else. Well, I'll tell the pastor. Don't dump on the pastor your responsibility. You do it. He's got enough involvement in such situations. He doesn't need your help. I'm a pastor, see, and so I react that way. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Sometimes all we want to do is hear what we want to hear. Hear what we want to hear. Oh, well, you know, Henry, she never should have left. You know, you shouldn't have done what you did, but she never should have left. And you don't build Henry up by putting down Henrietta. You see, those are my, I've never met people. I met one man. He was a doctor, Dr. Storch in Olean, cardiologist. His name was Henry, okay? And I'd always use Henry. And I had a lady in my church who went to him and invited him to church. And she said, Pastor, if he comes, you're going to have to use another name for an illustration. Same way, I knew one Henrietta in all my life. And so I can use that. Look at verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Now you put verse 9 with verse 6, the wounds of a friend, and the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Hearty counsel is to say the truth, not in judgmental attitude, not in harshness and not in a put down fashion, but just speak the truth. Now you're, as we use the term, you're bathing your whole visit with Henry in prayer. The things you've heard, the things you know, and you know Henry, he's your friend. And you know that, yeah, he is. Matter of fact, I remember being over there, and I heard how Henry talked to Henrietta. Go ahead and kiss him like an enemy. We'd say, suck up to him. Ain't going to help him. You know such situations. They end up getting divorced. Each of them end up getting married and repeating the same thing all over again. Maybe that can be stopped. You say, well, I don't know if it can. I don't know either. But we sure ought to be the kind of friend we ought to be. Verse 10, thine own friend and thy father's friends forsake not. Be loyal to your own friends and be loyal to your father and mother's friends. They are not your friends. They might become your friends, but you need to be loyal to them because they were a friend of your father and mother. You say, why? Well, I'm going to give you a deep theological answer. I don't know how it works. I just know it does because that's what God said. Be loyal to them. Be faithful to them. You don't have to have them as your friends, but you need to respect them because they were your father's friends. Okay, last one here now. Verse 17, and I know I'm a couple minutes over. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Never did understand iron sharpening iron. A whetstone sharps iron, but I don't understand iron sharpening iron. I take two pieces of iron in the garage and I strike them together and neither of them gets sharp. What's that mean? Well, there's a lot of things that have been preached and taught on that for sure, and I'm going to say all of them good. But I went to an Ed Young pastor, and he talked on this verse, and he said, to better understand this verse, I called an engineer friend. He detailed the process, including the change that takes place in the iron during sharpening. A change that takes place in iron during the sharpening. So when God uses in your friendship a situation in your life, he wants to bring a change. Iron sharpeneth iron. He wants to bring a change in our lives. Some things need changing. That's why there are times when the wounds of a friend are good, because they can bring the change that's needed. He also went on to explain that taking two pieces of metal, heating them up, and hammering them together increases the tensile strength. Okay, so God's going to take you and your friend, and through the heat of adversity, okay, a friend is born for adversity. Through adversity, he's going to take the two of you, and with the hammer of the word, he's going to pound your lives together and make you each stronger than you ever could be alone. Iron sharpeneth iron. This engineer went on to say that putting them together increases tensile strength, resulting in a piece better able to hold up under stress and pressure. Well, now, I've heard the word tensile many times, but I don't use it daily. So I looked it up, and it means capable of bearing tension. Yeah, my life needs to be developed so I'm capable of bearing tension, because there's lots of tension in life. And then that engineer talked about tensile strength. Tensile strength was defined as it enables bearing the greatest longitudinal stress without tearing apart. So here we have these two people that by the hammer of God's word, they have been molded together and they are better able longitudinal. Again, I just don't use that all the time when I go to the library. I was like, hey, what's the longitudinal, you know? So I looked it up and I found out that means things that go in length. The length of something. Now that's breaking it down. That's Tim here, an engineer student. He's listening, okay? And so longitudinal, it's length. And over the length of time that a relationship exists, when we are allow ourselves to be molded together, iron will sharpen iron. We could all use a trusted ironman in our life. The sharpening process both strengthens and equips us to become the men and women that God created us and called us to be. So let me ask you this question in closing. How is your tensile strength? Bearing of tension. Could you benefit from the sharpening of a trusted ironman in your life? If you don't have one, pray and ask God to give you one. And then go about it in a manner that'll please and honor him. Father in heaven, thank you for today. We do pray you would help us to be the kind of friends that we need to be with those with whom we interact. In Jesus' name, amen.